Welcome to the Death Care Marketing Show.
Families never see your checklists. They never see your calendars. And they never see the texts, the phone calls, or the teamwork happening behind the scenes. But they feel every bit of it, right? Today, we're talking about what families never see, but always feel. Hi, I'm Mary Barnett, and this is the Death Care Marketing Show. We talk real funeral home marketing strategies, automations, compassion, no fluff. I've got 37 years of marketing experience, and I'm bringing you thought leaders in the death care space because I want to share what works, what doesn't, and what's worth doing now. So let's get into it. Today, I am so excited. I'm joined by two amazing funeral professionals who happen to work together every day. Casey Derby is an advanced planning and cemetery manager, and Lindsay Wentworth is the funeral director, administrative manager, and social media manager. Between the two of them, they wear enough hats to fill a closet, but somehow they still create an experience that feels calm and seamless for families. So I really wanted to have them share their wisdom with you today. So let's welcome them to the Death Care Marketing Show. Hello, Casey. Hello, Lindsay. I'm so excited that you're here today with us. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. It's so kind of you.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
You're welcome. Well, I'm blessed to be able to work with these two beautiful ladies. And so we're just going to have a conversation today and really share what works at their funeral homes. And they're responsible for not just one, but seven rooftops. Is that right, ladies? Seven combined?
Six with the Zig and Nines. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, it's not just like one. You guys are definitely full. But I always like to ask this question because everyone in the funeral service has a story. Nobody accidentally ends up in this profession. So Casey, let's start with you. What led you into funeral service and what keeps you passionate about helping families?
It was an accident. I was working in corporate events and a friend knew someone who worked here. And they said they needed an event planner. And my first thought was like, no, like I'm going to be a wedding planner, not a funeral planner. And initially though, so I've been here for 15 years now and I didn't start planning funerals. I started in events and community outreach and community engagement, which is a lot of stuff that I still do.
Right.
But a lot of funeral homes wouldn't have somebody who did that. So I had a job here and I always say like, I never thought I would have worked at a funeral home, but I will probably never leave. And then eventually wanted to get more involved in helping families and doing a little bit more. So I got my funeral director's license, my advanced planning license. And so now the team that I manage is the advanced planning team. So we do pre-planning and then cemetery customer service and sales.
Oh, that's fantastic. And actually a funeral service is really, it's like you're planning the party that you'll never attend.
Yeah, I joke that like I thought I was gonna be planning weddings, but I plan funerals instead. And it's really not different. You just have to plan a funeral really fast.
Exactly. So it takes more talent. So there you go. Okay. So Lindsay, what about you? What was this always the career you imagined or did life have other plans?
So it's interesting that both Casey and I both fell into these career paths.
Okay.
And similar experiences, we were both kind of, the company grew us. So I started working for the funeral home as an evening staff person.
Okay.
The reason being is I was a young mom. And it was the perfect hours. So, So it was the perfect hours for me to be able to have for my husband at the time to take care of the baby. So what's kind of funny about me is during orientation, so your very first day, you go and you tour all the different locations. And part of that is the care center. I had never been really exposed to disease. Like I took a job at a funeral home, but I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
So I walked in and I had to walk out because I began crying. I had not really been exposed to any sort of funeral home or deceased. So
sure.
It was quite shocking.
Yeah.
However, fast forward 5 years, I am now crematory operator running the day-to-day operations of the crematory, as well as doing administrative work on top of that. And then I just kept kind of taking on more and more responsibilities. But my old supervisor or really mentor used to like to tell that story about the girl that cried on her first day And then she was cremating, 5 years later, became a funeral director, got her license, and now I'm doing all sorts of different things. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we saw, I talked about that. You're wearing multiple hats. I mean, so each of you are wearing multiple hats, but I think that's the beauty of the, you're never going to get bored in funeral service, right? Because there's always something to do. And I think that keeps us interesting and it helps us be relatable, obviously. So let's ask some fun team questions, actually. We talked about this a little bit before we started. So, you know, we're all fans of the Friends show. So I was going to ask you, like, who's the planner? Who plans the staff parties? Who keeps everyone organized? But let's relate it to Friends. So who do we decide was Monica, and who is Rachel and Phoebe?
I think we're both Monica because we're both very organized and on top of stuff. But yes, we think Lindsay could probably be Phoebe.
And Rachel. Yeah, because she's gorgeous. So
everybody wants to be Rachel, but I don't think I don't want to be Monica, but I very much am.
Yeah. In our friend group, I was Monica / Rachel, and so Lindsay, you got but that's fun, right? You're the fun of the party. I love that. Because that was my next question: like, who organizes things, and then who is more likely to say, you know, hey, let's just figure it out as we go? I mean, is that even a thing? I guess probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit of both. I can kind of maneuver. I could be really, really strict and have, I have to have things very specific, or I need things somewhat of a certain way for me to feel confident. But then I'm also kind of like, yeah, it'll be okay. Actually, one of my quotes that, like, if you had to quote me, it'll be fine, and go with your heart. Those are my two quotes. Like, they're quotes to live by.
Yeah. Because you know what? At the end of the day, it will be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, everything works out like it is, and especially when you guys are, like, obviously you're hard workers and you're always giving your all. That it does. It always works out because people see that around you and they know. I love that because it reminds us something that families rarely think about, right? The great funeral experiences don't just happen because of one person. They happen because of a great team. But as we said before, the title of the show is that families never see the work, but they do always feel it. I think that most people imagine funeral service is like an arrangement conference or the visitation or the funeral, but they never really see what happens behind the scenes, right? And yet those invisible things often shape the family's entire experience. So Casey, what are some of the behind the scenes responsibilities that families would probably be surprised to learn that you guys do?
So I'll talk specific because me and Lindsay kind of work on different sides of the house for the most part. My team is advanced planning. So before anyone has ever died, before anything bad has ever happened, they come in and they meet with my team and they make their plans and we learn about them so that instead of their family planning their funeral, they are planning to take care of their family when that time comes. So the family will never see, you know, the thought that goes into that, the things that their loved ones want to plan for them, the songs that they choose. And then that in turn sets the funeral directors up for success when that goes in, when it turns out neat, when someone has died, they have this whole roadmap already with some things that are very like logistical, tactical, you know, this is where we're going to be and what we're going to do, but also some really heartfelt things like maybe the, you know, they picked a certain clothing item that they wanted to wear, or, you know, if they're being cremated, the specific urn or the songs, the flowers, things like that, the special things that people do to take care of their family before they ever even need it.
That's wonderful. So on your side of it, you're helping suggest different things that might make it special, because I do believe that when you pre-plan your funeral, it's like giving your family a gift because they don't have to stress about it when you die. There's so much waves of emotions and the stress and everything happens. Like, how can you make those decisions, like you said, super fast, right? Like you have a week to plan and get everybody to fly in and put them up at your house and clean your house and all the things there's going like crazy. And here you guys are, the calm in the storm, saying, you know what? We've got everything taken care of. Everything is going to be fine, as Lindsay said, right? And so that brings me to Lindsay. How does all that behind the scenes work affect your ability to care for families face to face as a funeral director?
Absolutely. It's a big thing, because what families don't know is that we send out a daily schedule every day, and we have the roll up about what everybody is going to be doing the next day. But
okay.
And any type of funeral being in this profession, Things are going to happen in the middle of the night. So in the morning, right, things have been added to what we, to that next day. So we all have a time where both Casey's team, the funeral team, anybody that has any sort of communication or is working with that family is involved in a morning huddle. In which case, so our care team, our funeral team, our aftercare team, and our associates that are assisting our funeral directors during arrangements, we all meet together and say, okay, these are our families that are coming in today. This is a roll-up of information, or this is what's going on with this family dynamic. You know, it could be something very, very specific, that this was a very tragic loss for the family. They are just really uncertain, so just anticipate this. And then our family service director, which is Casey's team, they start to get a game plan of how they can best serve that family. So we really take time and discuss every person that is in our care that we're serving that day. And then anybody that had passed overnight that we need to now follow up with. And so that way we're all on the same page. So I would say that behind the scenes, we are really taking our time, and each person has a name and a family member that's coming in, and we have details about what's going on.
Oh my gosh. I love that. And I love that you do take the time to talk about what the family's going through, so you're prepared emotionally when they come in. Cause sometimes there's that, like you said, a tragedy. And then when you have your mindset wrapped around that, that probably really helps. So to both of you, and you guys can decide who you want to ask this, where does the overwhelm come from, and what creates the most unnecessary stress? I'm not talking just for the families, I'm talking about for your staff.
I feel like just if we have communication gaps, which I feel like we're very good about like identifying, but that's where the stress comes in, because we only have one shot to get this right for the family. So, and if we're messing it up on the back end, there is one person, a funeral director, standing in front of them that's going to get blamed for it. And so we want to make sure that we are all on the back end communicating and doing our pieces. We also have a cemetery. So we're a combo is what they call it. And so they're partnered with someone on my team who's in the cemetery. And if the cemetery and the funeral home aren't seamlessly working together behind the scenes, then we look like we don't know what we're doing. So we try to really hard to close all the communication gaps. And like Lindsay said, the huddle every morning is really great for that. And then we have internal systems. And then we try to make sure that we're also talking to each other every day, because we're separated all the time. We're in a lot of different buildings. So constant communication.
Yeah. And they're big. I mean, like you have that beautiful St. Charles Memorial Gardens, which, by the way, listeners, we have show notes, guys. We're going to put all the links in and all the nuggets and all the quotes that you said. And we'll put links, obviously. And St. Charles Memorial Gardens is breathtakingly beautiful. Like, has a beautiful lake, and there's swans and places to sit and big trees. Like, it's absolutely lovely. So you guys are spread out, and it's true. Like, the mantle of weight is really on your shoulders to make sure everything. And you guys also talk a little bit about, you just consecrated a special area for Jewish funerals, right?
Yes, actually on the funeral and the cemetery side, we have always prided ourselves on serving all families and all faiths. And we realized, because of the local Jewish community here, that we could not properly serve the Jewish faith. So on the cemetery side, we created a specific space, and we worked with them to give it all the features it needed and everything that they need to have a proper Jewish burial, and then had it consecrated. And then Lindsay, you want to talk a little bit about the funeral side piece of it?
Yes. So we used to have our care center. So any deceased that comes into our care, that's what a care center is. Okay. It used to be at our historic location. Okay. So that was already kind of set up for an embalming suite, although the Jewish faith, they do not embalm. Since we still had that space, we have now turned that into a proper care center for ones of the Jewish faith that they can come and
sit shiva.
I said that wrong. I can sit shiva.
My best friend growing up was Jewish, so I had sat shiva a lot.
So we've made those adjustments, and we've created a whole standard operating procedure. We are so prepared for anyone that may need our help.
That's great. And every faith has its rituals. And you guys are so good about that. And that is something that I know all funeral homes have to be prepared, that if they're a Hindu family or Buddhist or seek. There's certain things that you need to do out of respect and honor of that family. And it's amazing to me. I literally have shivers that you guys take such care in providing. Oh my gosh, am I going to get emotional? That it's so considerate and thoughtful. All the details that go into, like you said, planning a party that you'll never personally attend, but it's such a beautiful thing to see the families honor their loved one in a way that honors their faith, and that you guys take all the care of it. So it's awesome. So Lindsay, I know we kind of jumped on that same question to you, but when it comes to the staff, what do you think creates unnecessary unnecessary stress?
Well, and I don't know if it's necessarily unnecessary stress. I think it's just sort of what happens.
Yeah, part of the game.
Yeah. It is. So, you know, overnight, if you have, you know, six people or something like that, that all need your help, and the day is going to be very, very busy, and there's limited people to be able to do those follow-up calls with families. And our families do not need to know that we have several families that they need to feel as if they are the only family we're serving, because they are. And we want to make sure that is never felt. But I would say that is where some of the stress will come, when you have a lot of families that you're caring for at once. And then trying to make sure that you're able to set that appointment at a time frame that's, you know, good for them, and also their services. When you have to have services postponed a week out or something like that based on scheduling, that can be very, very stressful to have those conversations with families, because it is important to them. Whatever is important to them is important to you. And I've even told families, I very much want to be able to do this for your family. But right now, with what our schedule is, unfortunately, we won't be able to accommodate that date, which is really, it can be a very difficult conversation, because very sensitive. We can never, the worst thing we can ever do is forget what we do, is that we are here to serve families, and somebody has passed, and we always have to keep that in the forefront of our mind.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Because like, if you're planning a wedding, you can say, oh, because I remember we wanted to get married for some weird reason. I remember this, August 1st. That was, I don't know why, but the church wasn't available. Mm-hmm. So we had to, you know, okay, well, what's your next available? You know, it's like, so we were pushed out to August 22nd. And you know what? What a blessing. August 22nd was a beautiful day, and it all turned out, you know, but at the time it was like, oh. But with a wedding, you have time to plan. With a funeral, you don't. Like, especially with faiths that have to have it done with a certain time frame, you guys all have to, like, you know, punt, so to speak. So I can imagine the stress that that brings on. So in the shows, in the Death Care Marketing Show, I always like to have a framework that kind of goes with the theme. And today I picked the framework called EASE. So it's a simple framework that I think every funeral home can benefit from, because our goal is to make one of the life's hardest moments a little easier for families. So E stands for eliminating unnecessary work. So Casey, where do you see funeral homes creating extra work for themselves that maybe could be easily simplified? Like, maybe what one process have you improved, or one thing that owners you think should stop doing?
We do that a lot. Like, we find ourselves in situations, and I try to not, like, just make decisions. Like, on my team, like, everything kind of goes to the team. We're all going to talk about it, because sometimes even I'll find myself like, okay, we need to put this in place to make sure that doesn't happen again, when there might be something that's already in place to prevent that from happening. So maybe we need to improve the original process instead of creating something new.
Okay.
And just like a specific example, something that happened recently is we got a new phone system. And so a lot of our calls are going to our answering service and then being distributed from there. And everyone wants to be helpful. So a lot of people are in that system. So when the pre-need or cemetery calls are coming in, they're going to all different people on my team from all different people who are answering the phone. And so we were like, how do we fix this when we have 100 people who really want to be helpful? The family's getting 3 calls back. So we quickly created a group email that goes to 3 people, and we decided who's in charge of it all of the time. And then she'll let somebody know if she needs a backup. And so she handles all of those calls that come in. She gets them to the appropriate family service counselor to get back to that family. But that, I mean, we made that all happen in just a couple of hours, just by having a conversation and saying, what's the best way to do this?
That's awesome. That's like real teamwork. That's great. Normally there's always somebody on the team that wants to be the, you know, I'm the decider. And the fact that you all came together, I mean, obviously it nods to your mornings, like huddles, like that you all come together. That is really like teamwork makes the dream work. I think that's, mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Very much.
And so, okay. Now A is for anticipate families' needs. So Lindsay, you're often answering questions before our families even know they have them, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you anticipate those needs? Is there one little thing families remember or something that creates calm immediately?
I'm trying to think about how we do that.
Yeah,
it's okay. I think one of the best things is when we're on the phone with the family, getting ready to set that appointment, setting the proper expectation, no surprises ever. When we talk to a family, and is a lot of times if we know that our scheduling, kind of going back to that, is going to be a little bit, if that's going to be any sort of a concern,
we'll kind of
discuss it right then and there. So that way they're not getting kind of their own thoughts of when they're going to have services. We kind of will just sort of discuss did you guys have any particular dates that you were looking to have your services? We have to have it on Thursday and Friday. Okay. Well, let's just kind of look at our scheduling here. I want to set the proper expectations of when we're going to be able to have the services. So you just kind of discuss that with the family to make sure that there are no surprises. Because when you do that to a family, that's where problems start to arise and confusion.
Right.
Because they may not have asked you the question, but they've already made some assumptions.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, it comes down to communication, right? You're mm-hmm. communicating. So they have, and I love that. That's a very good nugget, is set the expectations from the beginning. So there's no like, yeah, because what do they say? Assuming is making an ass of you and me. Mm-hmm. So no, that's a fantastic suggestion. So the next in ease is S for systemized repeatable tasks. So one thing I've learned after 37 years of marketing, again, don't do the math, that systems create consistency. So Casey, what's one system that has made the biggest difference?
Oh, I don't want to say the same thing, but I really want to say that huddle, but I won't. Let me think of something else.
Well, while you're thinking about mm-hmm. it, the follow-up question is to Lindsay. Where have systems actually given you more time to be present with your families?
Yes, I can speak to this, Casey.
Go ahead, whatever one you want to do.
So years ago, our schedule took about 2 hours to type up. It was an old schedule and we had to kind of figure it out. And so it was kind of developed a new system. And from that system is what we still use today. It is in something called SharePoint. I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but yeah. You're able to kind of see a workbook live. So when edits are being made, things are being scheduled, you're able to see it in real time,
okay.
which is how all of our teams function. So our schedule book is a monthly book, and each day can be viewed. So you as a director, I think that this helps create consistency for staff. So then not only are you trying not to surprise your families, you also don't want to surprise and shock your staff, because they're incredibly important to everything. They're the most important thing. So I would say as far as a system that was put in place, that scheduling system has made all the difference in the communication between all of the teams. Everybody has it up on their computer all day long. It helps you make sure you're not calling somebody that's on vacation if it's their day off.
Right.
You can look at it and see, oh, that director's on a service. I can't call them right now. Oh, this person's available to take this phone call. So it just creates great organization for the funeral home.
Sounds fantastic.
Totally agree. I remember when I started, like I came from, like I said, corporate event sales. So like there were event software systems and scheduling. And when I came, the schedule was magnetic strips on a whiteboard. And that is how everyone, and I was like, how do people know where they're supposed to be? And Lindsay created that. Like she's being modest saying she created that. And her name is all over so many. We joke that she's like special projects manager should be the title, because every time something needs to be done like that. So yes, we're all in that thing all day long, just making
sure
we're all where we're supposed to be.
Good job, Lindsay. Big star by your name. I mean, little things like that, you're helping take that, you know, people's shoulders out of their ears, right? If they just can know, I have 5 minutes. I can go outside. And something like I was telling you that Lisa Bowie, who used to own your funeral home, she was a guest on my show. And she was saying that through her leadership, as she transitioned, right, from taking over and then selling it, of course, she said that you guys have like, I don't know if you still do this, but she said that not only is the team encouraged to share ideas they have for different facets, but also you have team things like you go for a walk together. Is there something like that she mentioned about, is that still, are you guys still doing that? Or you walk around, I don't know if it's a cemetery, but mm-hmm. I think it was like a challenge for exercise. Or
oh
something.
Yeah, we did a walk. We did a yep. step challenge for sure.
Yeah.
And then the care team, the girls on the care team, because they're really kind of secluded from everybody else and they're doing the hardest work. They call them hot girl walks and they walk around in the cemetery.
Hot girl, yeah. Because they're cute, I'm sure. Not just because obviously. It's hot outside.
And it's hot. Yeah. Yes.
That's great. Yeah.
Yes, we do a lot of like bring the staff together wellness kind of things as well. Stuff like
that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that'll make Lisa happy. Cause I know she sold the business a few years ago and she wanted to make sure that the legacy kind of continued because she, and just a side note, when we talked about you two specifically, you should have seen her light up. She was like, oh my gosh, I love them. Like they were so amazing. And she just is so grateful that you're there carrying on that tradition. And again, you know, she runs the organization called Funeral Women Lead. And knowing that you guys are movers and shakers in the industry and you're still running the ship over there made her really happy, which is really cool. Okay. And so the last in on that note is E for empower one another. So this one actually might be my favorite. So Lindsay, what is something that Casey does that makes your life easier?
Oh man.
I feel like you do a lot to make my life easier. Do I just make your life harder?
No, I'm you just kind of threw me. I didn't know. I have to think of something wonderful about you, which is easy. I'm just thinking about specifics for me. Casey is a constant idea person. She's always got something that she's kind of cooked up or thought of how we can improve an event or build a, I'm not doing very good at answering this.
No, you are. You are. So speak from your heart.
It feels yeah,
right. It's all about Casey. It's all about Casey. No, I mean, we meet once a month to talk over your SEO
yeah.
and PPC, and you guys are both always so grateful for each other. That's something I really enjoy working with you guys because you both are so, what do you call it, where you're always lifting each other out. I always think about rising tide lifts all boats, and you definitely are that way for each other. You're always so complimentary. And you bring in, like I said, other team members every time, like introduce team members that you always seem to be cheering for each other, which means a lot in this very difficult field you're in. Like, it's not easy work.
No, it's not.
It's
and
not.
I can, so I have always said that Casey's a pretty impressive woman. If you look at her years that she's had here at Bowie and all of the different sales marks that she's met and her team has met, I think you have probably the most members of your team at, what was it with Parklawn? They have like a sales incentive trip.
Yes.
And what, three or four of your staff members are on that list of a very small list?
Wow. It depends. Yeah, this year four of them went, and then last year there were six of them. So, yes, they are good.
That's good.
And a fantastic salesperson.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, Casey, I'm throwing it to you. So, what are some things that Lindsay does that makes you thankful that she's on your team?
I think that I make Lindsay's life harder all the time. So, thank you for saying that. But she, oh my God, everything. Every time, like she said, we talk through ideas and. Sales is the name of the game for me. So it's like, okay, what can we do to find more people who need to pre-plan, to educate more people? And she has a lot of control of the website. So like, we're like, oh, can we add this to a page? Can we change this? Can we make this say this? Can we add a button there? And can we add a blog? Can we write a blog in 10 minutes? And she's always like, yes, 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 yes. And makes it all happen. So that's,
yeah.
So a lot of the sales, I mean, obviously you give the salespeople credit for doing what they do, but they have the tools definitely in large part because of Lindsay.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well,
and I kind of feel opposite. Like I feel, okay, thank you. But I kind of feel like those things that you've requested are things that are an improvement. So we are actually building each other up because I'm gaining more experience on how to do things on the website, on how to write blogs. Mm-hmm. You're giving some ideas and you know, critiques, but they're all really valid. And I can see the different improvements. We've made some improvements just with our last meeting with you, Mary, on the website. So we're kind of hoping to see kind of if there's any more traffic on our sales and different things like that. So yeah. No, that was very kind, Casey.
Oh, look at that. It's all about the love. Yeah. So these are, this section is called the practical. So try this. So if another funeral home wanted to reduce their overwhelm, where should they begin? So Casey, what's one system, and we've kind of touched on it, you might be able to have another idea. What's one system every funeral home should have, funeral home owner should have?
I feel it depends on, I mean, I guess it's all different what you can do, the size of your staff, but I feel like taking care of the staff and making sure that they feel cared for day to day and like valuing their opinions, not just telling them what to do, like having regular meetings, not just for the sake of having a meeting, but not just to tell everybody what to do, like a meeting where everyone gets to contribute. If there are things we need to decide, let's decide them together, because when they're involved and you value their opinion and they feel cared about, they're willing to work those long hours and do those stressful things for you. And they know that you're willing to do the same for them.
Right. That's excellent advice. I mean, they call it the power of ownership, right? When you can make people feel like they own part of the business because yep. that part is on them, they're going to want to give it their all, which is awesome. Okay, Lindsay, what's one habit that creates a better experience for families that a staff member could take on, a habit that they could make?
Sorry.
Obviously, this is not rehearsed. We are going.
No. Yeah, I'm thinking of it.
No, it's great because I think, like you just mentioned, the habit of having a morning huddle, I think is fantastic. The habit of self-care. Like, do you guys encourage each other, like, take a break? Like, step away when you have a chance between families?
I think that kind of along the lines of what Casey kind of mentioned, and I don't know if this is quite going to be what we're looking for and we'll adjust, but kind of what Casey was mentioning is staff. It's all about your team. You take care of your team and then that grows your business, because as long as your team is feeling supported and they're feeling valued and you're seeing them as an actual person and not just an employee, then that kind of changes the whole dynamic completely. And they are willing to work harder and do different things.
Right.
And when somebody comes in that doesn't kind of fit in with that group, because if you've got a true team and your management is all aligned and we are employee focused, when somebody comes in that's not that, then that's where you kind of start to have problems. But they typically leave on their own because they don't really fit in with us.
Right.
Because I would say that's...
Right. I mean, you can actually have someone who say, I've never had an environment like this. Like, and the follow-up question was that was like, what things do you feel are okay to delegate? And which are things that you think maybe should be automated that you don't have to do over and over and over again? I mean, would that be something that you can think of? That is there something that you feel is best delegated to another team member that normally funeral directors take on themselves?
I think what the way that we function is we do have some of those things already in place.
That's true. You seem to have a great system.
Well, with a part of the team that I manage, they are the ones that assist the funeral directors during the arrangement conference, where they are typing up the obituary for the director. Like the director's in the room with the family and getting all of the information for their vital statistics, their obituary. And on the back end, we have a team member in the back capturing that information and working on things for the director.
So really?
So then when they come out of the room, their obituary is kind of drafted on the website. It's not published quite yet. Service details are listed. The obituary has been started and that's all printed for the director. So that way they can kind of work on some of the other paperwork that's important and not focus on that.
That's fantastic. Because I was worried, like a lot of the funeral homes I work with that are a little smaller, I actually create a little tool that they can ask for permission that if they put it on the desk, it will record the conversation. And then it basically will create a proposal based on how the funeral home, you know, what their framework is. And then it can suggest different add-ons that if the family wants it, they just need to be made aware. They're not forced to do that. But then it kind of takes, it transcribes it. And with AI, it actually creates this little proposal. It always needs to be double-checked because AI, you never can fully trust it. But I didn't know that you actually had a staff member. Do they sit in the room with them and kind of like take notes, or is there like a, how do they do that? How do they assist them? That's fascinating to me.
So we have a database, like software that we use. And during the arrangement conference, the director is typing and they're entering in this data. So they're typing during the arrangement conference and capturing all the information for the associate that's in the office.
Got it. Okay. So the funeral director is actually doing typing during. Okay. I see. I was just thinking, wow, how do they do that? Do they have like an earpiece? Like, how do they know? Because I'm always like thinking of how I can make things better. And so, like I said, I created this little tool, you know, and some people aren't ready for it, but I just thought, wow, if you could literally like just relax and have a conversation and share stories about different things. So the tool actually will ask, I haven't launched this yet or anything, but I was just thinking about it when you said it, you know, reminding the funeral director of different stories of the, either their personal life or of different services, not naming any names, but of like experiences they thought was really cool. Like one example, you know, a little boy randomly, I don't think this was planned, got up and had a box of tissues. And every time someone came up to give a eulogy, he would hand them a tissue as they walked up the stairs to the podium. And then when they finished, he'd come down and he'd hug them. Like, it was just like, I think he just came up with it. It was just like a sweet little boy. He's like 5 years old. And then everyone was like, there wasn't a dry eye in the place because they saw the little boy with the tissues and everybody was crying, whatever. And so we encourage our funeral directors to like take that story and share it with the family. Like, this was an experience I heard about that was so touching. If you have a child who would be willing to hold the tissue box by the altar, this is such a tender moment. And then they can always get like personalized tissues if they wanted, or they could do whatever. I'm just saying that would be like an add-on if they wanted it. But those little stories really help, especially with the reduced amount of memorial services that we see statistically. You know, people are like, let's just have a direct cremation. But I feel like services really matter for closure and for the grief journey. Do you guys agree?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And I think people who try to jump over that for costs later on, the cost of their emotional stress is what they're going to pay for. I think I've been to so many funerals in my life just of loved ones that, you know, if you don't fully grieve and be able to say the words you want to say and, you know, have those experiences with friends that share those stories, it backs up on you, right? You know, and so I think that's why. And, you know, there's a misnomer that people think, well, funeral homes just want to do, you know, memorial service because they make more money. Well, sure, it does add a couple bucks to the project, but it's so good for the families to have those services. And so I think we all agree that that's why we always encourage people to have those memorial services, right?
Well, and now, like, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whenever people did services, there weren't a ton of grief counselors. And now grief counseling is like a multi-million dollar industry because people want to jump over it and then realize later that that's not how it works and you can't. So we have many grief counselors that we're partnered with to help families cope after a loss. And that just, you didn't used to need as many as you need today.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I never put those two together because you're right. People took the time and now they don't. And that's why they need that extra. Because I know that you guys have, like, we have a compassion concierge on one of your websites. And that's something that people are asking for. Like, they don't know how to deal with their grief. And I just learned a new term called grief desert. Have you heard of a grief desert?
No.
Yeah. The woman I was talking to, she's a grief counselor. So yeah. That term. But she says it's where you're in an area of a country, kind of like a food desert, where there's not like fresh food. So they don't have like fresh vegetables. That's called a food desert. So for grief desert, that's where like there isn't a lot of resources for grieving widows or children or things. And so she was saying that how important it is that we fill that gap as funeral homes so that we provide those resources. So tell me a little bit about that. How do you guys help people with aftercare at your place?
So that's the same, that's the pre-need team does the aftercare as well. So like the funeral director and at-need team does the during, but we also take care of families before and after. So the same team does that. And we have a lot that we do, and we have the resources to do that. Not everybody does. So we do internal grief support groups, and we have counselors, but these are counselors that we don't pay. Like, we've partnered with them, and they give a free session to anyone who uses us in turn for the referral, because they're hoping they get the business on the back end. There's also a business in the area called the Sound Spa. So they use like big gongs and like vibrating sounds, and that is supposed to like heal the body. Mm-hmm. They have agreed to give a free session to any family that uses us. So we don't really have to spend the money. We just try to make it our business to have these relationships. So then when we meet with a family who's struggling, we can say, okay, we have all these resources. We have some, but we also know about so many more in the community. And so we can kind of help them. And then just as a, from a business standpoint, our name's on all of it. So
that's fantastic. What a great, there's a nugget right there. So funeral homeowners, listen to this, like partner with your local, like there are so many resources here where I live. There's a place called the Stevens Center, and it is a grief counseling nonprofit, and they specialize in children. And so they have a lot of like grief painting classes for the kids that can, they can come, and through the, through art, they're expressing themselves, and they're, so they go through all the stages of grief. That really helps them heal from losing a parent, which it's unimaginable at that. Yeah. So on that note, we're going to segment to the good, the bad, and the ugly. So this is another one of my favorite parts of the show. So in the good, so Casey, I'm going to throw this one to you. What's one behind the scenes practice that every funeral home should steal? Something good. You've mentioned so many. I don't know if there's any left.
I'm sure there is. I want to say something with aftercare. Lindsay, do you have one that you could go first or not? I'm trying to think of something that more relates to me.
Yeah, something they could steal, like an idea. Well, right now we just already gave them the morning huddle. We gave them the SharePoint that they all can see everything happening at the same time. The aftercare, partnering with community grief support that you don't have to pay for. Hello. That makes it so you're still top of mind. But you're, you know, so those are all awesome. Was there anything else that we might have forgotten?
I think those are all. I guess like Google reviews, like those are all behind the scenes thing, but it's people, it's going to drive people to your business because we are a world that Googles things before they do anything. So having an automated, systematic way to drive people to your Google business page and leave you a Google business review is there's a lot of tools out there to help with it. And there's a lot of easy ways to make sure that you are requesting that from every family you serve.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I think that we do on the funeral side is we really, really listen to different things that the family says as far as their favorite colors, if we can get anything like that. Sometimes we'll surprise the family if they say, oh, they love Reese's Pieces or something like that. Then we'll kind of surprise them and have some of those. Like each one of our directors is kind of allotted a certain amount of money to do something extra for a family if we feel like we need to or we want to, especially in different circumstances. And that's not, I don't know if all funeral homes do that, but we really, we do special things too, where it doesn't take a whole lot of cost, but we'll have like a little tiki bar. We have some sand, and it takes a while to put it together. But if we know something about a family and we feel like we can personalize their service and do something that will wow them when they walk into that room, we go for it. And it's all very tasteful. It's not, we try to be very, very thoughtful because truly we care. We want that experience and that time that they're with their family to be special.
And that creates a core memory, especially for like kids that come. Like what you just said, and I was trying to think of the book. There's actually a book written by a gentleman who turned around a hotel brand, and that was one of his things. He had a $500 allotment. They didn't always have to use it. There was $500 that if there was a guest who said something when they were checking in, or maybe when the bellhop was going up, and there was something they said, had a memory or they just made some comment, they would deliver something to their room or make it a special arrangement that was that wow factor. That was like, dang, they heard me.
Yeah.
And I think that like when you said the Reese's Pieces, like, oh my gosh, you know, and you know what? Those kind of things pay off tenfold. Mm-hmm. You know, you might think, oh, it's a budget item, but you know, you don't always spend it. And the fact that you have it there, you guys are brilliant. I love that. Okay. So Lynn, so whoever wants to take this, the bad. So what is something funeral homes do? Not because they don't care, but simply because they're overwhelmed. Is there something that sometimes happens that you're like, oh gosh.
They hire the wrong person for the job. If they hire, it's because sometimes funeral homes get desperate because they're overworked and they're tired and they just need somebody to fill a role. Hiring the wrong person does more harm than good. You are better off to just hold out for an employee that's going to work well with your team that aligns with what you're looking for.
I heard a quote once, they say, hire slow and fire fast. Right? Oh, that's excellent. I love that. And Casey, what's one thing you would automate tomorrow if you could?
Oh my goodness. Texts, like standardized text to a family after they've lost someone, like this at this many weeks and this at this many weeks and this at this many, like.
Well, gosh, I think you have a tool that's going to be doing that for you soon.
I freaking hope so. Yeah. they do it all now and it's all like, also you don't want it to feel generic. So like it all, you know, we want it to come from Bowie and to come, if I'm your aftercare person, I want it to come from me. But those are things like keeping up with those families is so important, but we serve 2,000 families a year. So when you've got 9 people keeping up with all of them, but like Lindsay said before, you don't want that family to feel like they are one of 2,000 people in a year. They need to feel like they're it.
That they're really.
So I think the aftercare outreach, because if you miss that, I mean, you can't get it back. You can't take care of them later when they've already found the help they need, or they didn't get it and they had a bad experience. So
yeah, we were talking about that for a new client. And I said, why don't we create a way that your families can tell us like what are important dates to them? Not just birthday, anniversary, Christmas, but is there like a date, like their anniversary of their first date or the day that they had their first whatever, like their special trip. And if the families can pick their own special day, then we can program those texts that go out and say, hey, we know today's just going to be a hard day and we're praying for you or we're thinking about you or something like that. And not always trying to sell them the next thing, but to say, hey, we've got this great event coming up that's really good for your grief journey. We'd love to invite you to it. So that kind of stuff is top of mind as well. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Lindsay, what's one thing we just talked about automation. So what's one thing that should always stay personal, like a human?
Oh, I think the arrangement conference needs to stay personal. I do think that there are going to be more and more online arrangements made, but I don't think that that's a negative. I think that that's okay. I think families are very used to getting on their computer and typing things out, and sometimes it gives them something to do. I'm not asking to eliminate that. In fact, I kind of want to do more of that because I think that that'll be helpful. But sure. I think that the person-to-person contact, that phone call when somebody passes, to be able to talk to a human and a person and to just kind of offer condolences and truly show that care and concern for what they're going through.
Yeah.
That can never be automated. You need a person.
Yeah, I love that. And Casey, what's one word that describes a great funeral team?
Conscientious.
Ooh.
I wanted to say something specific to teamwork, but teamwork and team. But I feel like
conscientious. Yeah, everybody thinking in that same, like rowing the boat together, right?
Yes.
Funny you just said that. I don't know if you guys have been watching the World Cup at all.
Obviously.
You know, we're dating the show. Yeah. Well, you can, you know what I did?
I don't want to watch it. My husband's watching it, so.
Okay. Well, they have, on YouTube, they have like recaps. So I literally went and watched, do you know Messi? Yeah, I think he's on the Argentina team. I watched this recap where it was like, Messi. He was like one, but after, he is so good. Like, oh my gosh, so good. But the Swiss team, I think, is they do the rowing. Is that their thing? They have a chant that they row?
Like as the part of their cheer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. Anyways, if you haven't seen it, again, this is going to be living on forever. Go on YouTube and find it. Yes. But it's so cute. When they came to America, they inspired the town they were in, and people were doing the row like up escalators. And other things, they're all doing it together, and everybody was full of joy, and it was like, oh my God. Like it was just those little things. And so when you say conscientious, I think of a team rowing together to reach that grip. So tied in the World Cup. Okay. So team appreciation. Before we get to my final question, I'd love to ask you something. So Casey, what's one thing Lindsay does that makes you proud to work alongside her?
I think everything she does, like we talked earlier about how, like, as we have both worked here so long, you just pick up extra things, but you don't ever get to let go of any of those other things. And some of them you want to, and some of them you want, because you care a lot. And so she has her hands in so many different things that I don't think that there's a team that she doesn't affect, like, week to week, and help everyone. And that's, as a management team, a lot of us have been here for a really long time. So I think we work together to do that, but just to work alongside someone who can and does affect everyone, every team, in a positive way.
Oh, okay. And Lindsay, what's one thing that Casey brings to your team that every funeral home owner should value? So they're looking for this in a team member that they hire or want to support, like encourage them to go forward. Something that Casey does that you think other funeral home staff should incorporate, if I could speak.
She does lean on her staff on what they excel at. You have one staff member that may look like they might be able to continue on with learning and growing, becoming a celebrant. You have another staff member that's incredibly good at networking and going to social events and getting their name out there. And she is really good at pinpointing her staff's what they're best at and then pushing them towards that. And she's always, I think, pushing staff to, in a good way, to learn and grow with each other. So you'll pair different team members up and say, you're doing this really well, and you're doing this really well. Maybe you guys should teach each other on how you're doing that. So I think that she does a really good job with her team, and that's why they're so successful. It doesn't happen by accident. She's doing a lot of things right. So I think that, yes. Looking at your team, finding their strengths, and building your team up together by learning from each other.
I love that. And it does. That fosters leadership, because you're seeing the best in others. You're encouraging them to do that. And of course, people are going to rise to the occasion and make you proud. Like, that's just a human nature thing. So bravo for both of you. Like, that's great. You guys have to go out for drinks after this. I mean, that's great. So one last thing before we wrap up, and also after the show, I have a few other questions for you that we're going to continue on. But before we wrap up, there's one question I always ask every guest on the Death Care Marketing Show. If you could leave every funeral homeowner with one piece of wisdom, a lesson you've learned that will help them better serve families, build trust, or grow their business, what would that be? You guys can decide who goes first. One piece of wisdom.
I feel like Casey and I are completely aligned in this, because we chat, and we were talking about how we both really believe in that investment in staff, and really pouring your attention into them, because the more your staff feels appreciated and the more that you humanize them and look at them not just as an employee, but as a person that has hopes and dreams and has a life outside of work. They're a mother, they're a father, they're, you know, they've got people relying on them, that this is not their sole focus in life. When you humanize them and you put all of your attention into them, that filters and trickles down to how well your business does.
Yeah. Wow. Is that just a ditto, Casey?
Yeah, we were talking about it beforehand, like, because that we knew that was the last question. I was like, I would say the same thing. Like, I feel like my whole job is to put tools in people's hands and get barriers out of their way. And if I can do that, then they feel cared about and they will be willing to walk through fire for me. And I would do the same for them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have shivers. I love today's conversation because it really does. It reminds us that some of the best marketing a funeral home will ever do isn't found in an advertisement, right? It's not found on a website or even on social media. It's found in these invisible moments, the preparation, the teamwork, the communication, the systems, the care. Families really never see these things happening behind the scenes, but they do feel it. And that's what they'll remember. So if you're a funeral homeowner and this helped you, please share it with someone you think might need it. Let's do what works, drop what doesn't, and we'll see you next time on the Death Care Marketing Show. Thank you so much, ladies, for being on the show.